bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. My wife, it's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It took a while to get there, but
we had to get to that course.
We finally got the Rocket Man. Absolutely.
Per request by Mr. Mike Wiggins, who is the host of the Garden Line here on Pep Talk. We had to go there, y'all. We had to go there this morning.
We had to. You know,
with
all the news in the world, and so much of it is bad news.
Yes.
Scary news. You know, we've got Artemis 2 out there, setting records, going as far away as anybody has ever gone from Earth.
It's incredible.
And it absolutely is, from a technology standpoint and from an exploration standpoint. It's amazing.
It really
is.
I've been totally immersed in this all weekend long. And I think probably because I shared this yesterday, because when I was a kid, watched the moon landing back in 1969. So that was, everyone had their TV. You couldn't go anywhere that the TV wasn't on when that was happening. I mean, and it's sort of sad to me. This is sort of like another news story in a weird way. There's some people like me and you that are all excited about it, but I wish it was getting the attention that it deserved, because this is extraordinary for the human race.
It is.
Gosh.
And that's just our nature. I mean, we don't need to get philosophical.
No,
here,
I know.
But that's our nature, is to explore.
Yes.
And take the next step. Go
yes.
to the next place. And my goodness, we're going to put a camp, if you will.
A colony, I guess.
Colony is a good way to put it, on the moon, so we can jumpstart the program to go to Mars.
Yes.
Wow.
I know.
hope I'm around.
So maybe Star Trek isn't so out there, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Anyway.
Getting closer every day. But anyway, we were laughing because we both came in, and we usually try to pick some kind of a song, and and then we both went, Rocket Man.
What else? I mean, what else are you going to play? And that's exactly right. But we wish them safety.
Yes.
Safe return home. And it's just absolutely amazing. And you know, a lot of people will say, why in the world do we do that? Why do we spend that kind of money on that? Well, number one, as I say, I think it's just our human nature to explore. But the technology that comes out of that is amazing. It always has.
Mm-hmm.
Always has.
I thought it was interesting that they were saying that, and this is something that never occurred to me, that the moon is actually bigger than the Earth. They said that yesterday. I don't know if that's true.
I don't know.
But it was really interesting, maybe with the way that they were looking at it, because they were getting closer and closer.
Right. Yeah.
But it was just interesting. And the color of it's more of a brown and green than we think of it as a gray blob.
I mean,
it was really interesting to hear them, the astronauts, talking about it.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I deal with St. Augustine grass and chinch bugs. And
maybe a heck of a job at the landscape the moon, buddy.
I sure don't know which one is bigger. That's really...
Well, this is the Garden Line, so we'll get back on topic. But we just had to take a second to just congratulate and just say how amazing it is, and say a prayer for their safe return.
Exactly.
So
let's do just one more little congratulations to Michigan.
Yes. How about them Wolverines?
For being the national champions.
I have to admit, I was kind of rooting for them because it had been 37 years.
That's right.
Since they had done it. And when Georgia won back in the day, you know, a few years back, it had been 41 years since we'd won. So it really means a lot.
But we also have to congratulate UCLA women.
Yeah.
For
how about
the
that?
National champions.
The Bruins.
Also, you know, and what is kind of hard
for the first time, right?
Yes, exactly. And what's hard for me to grasp is that UCLA on the West Coast and Michigan, which is on, not on the East Coast, but close, are in the same conference.
The Big Ten
conference.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They've, UCLA went with the Big Ten conference.
That's right.
Very interesting.
Well, we love sports around here, so.
We do.
What can we say? So there's one other YouTube I want to mention. Can I do that real quick?
Go for it.
Okay. I am totally fascinated by the two eagles. Have you seen that? This is the live stream of this eagle's nest that's been going on for a couple of years.
I have not.
Well, if you want to do something and if you want to get away from all the negativity, there's a live streaming. Just click on the eagle's nest. And they've been, I don't know where, it's in the mountains somewhere, but they're in a tree. These gorgeous bald eagles. And last year they gave birth to the little eaglets. And then you got to watch the eaglets grow. They just hatched on Easter Sunday, the two little eaglets.
Really?
So there's two of them now, and then you watch them feed them and then watch them grow. And last year, one of the eaglets, when it finally the mother said, okay, it's time for you to fly out of the nest, it took off. And the second one looked at her and went, uh-uh. And it took a couple of times to get that second one to get out of the nest. So I'm curious now. It's really neat, but it's a live stream. And it's like your bird's nest, your bird feeder, you said, that has the camera now.
Exactly.
Yeah, they just have, it's been there, and you can just watch and just sit and watch there. She feeds the little babies, and dad comes in, and it's just kind of neat. So
there are some good news things.
Yeah, but it's sort of related to the garden line.
Well, and this next one is kind of sports related, but it does relate to horticulture in a sense, and that's the Masters.
Yes,
it's coming up this weekend.
Yes,
and I just did a little research here because I was totally interested to see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Why does the Masters? Why does it look so gorgeous?
Oh gosh, those greens.
Well, for those of us who try to grow grass like they do with the Masters, that's not going to happen. But it's really funny. All the fairways are Bermuda grass.
I was going to ask you about that.
But here's the deal. Is there Bermuda grass? But all of us who have seen Bermuda grass know that this time of year, especially in Augusta, it's a little further north than we are, has not that green. It's just coming out of dormancy like our grass.
It's not that warm there.
It's not. So what they do is they overseed it with a perennial ryegrass.
Really?
Now, a perennial ryegrass, just by name, is a ryegrass that will come up every year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how they treat it at Augusta. They have the Bermuda is underneath the perennial ryegrass, which is just as green as it can be. And so they have just beautiful fairways. But in the summer in Augusta, it gets so hot that perennial ryegrass will kind of suffer and go away. And then they reseed it every fall so it's ready for the Masters.
Wow,
so it's interesting. It's really the basic turf on the fairways is Bermuda, but the green is because of the perennial ryegrass.
I'm just kind of always fascinated how they get everything to bloom for the perfect weekend.
I mean,
the azaleas, when they show the shots, the long-distance shots, and you see, it's all perfectly colors. All the colors are magnificent, perfectly groomed.
Exactly.
How do you do that? How do you say, okay, flowers, we got to have the flowers on April 10th?
Well, I think, quite frankly, because of how our azaleas are blooming here, that in Augusta, it's probably about the same.
Uh-huh.
But there's urban legends out there that say that if, for example, the Masters – the weather is such that the azaleas aren't doing what they want, that they haul them in there and stick them where they belong.
Cheating a little bit?
Now, don't anybody quote me on that. I'm probably wrong.
I don't know.
The person who told me that is totally unreliable.
Reliable, and this is Pep Talk. Mike is our expert on the garden line, and we've already got some texts coming in for you, sir. So what we're going to do is take a quick break. We'll come back and start answering your garden and lawn care questions on the garden line, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Mike Wiggins is here to answer all your gardening questions at 850-437-1620. Talking about the Masters happening this weekend and the exquisite condition of the greens and the fairways. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So you have this surprised me with this information that you have about, I didn't know this.
Well, I think maybe as the show progresses, we might be able to get into some of this. Because I've done this before.
Okay. This is new for me. Okay.
It's new for you, where we go by each hole, and which has a name of a plant.
That's so wild to me.
Exactly. But we may not have time to do all of that. We may do some next week. But I did want to mention the greens.
Yes.
The greens are, I mean, they are spectacular. And they are a grass that you don't see much in Pensacola. You might see it on a golf course. It's bent grass.
Hmm.
Creeping bent grass.
That doesn't sound like a green.
But it is.
Kind
I mean,
of grass.
It is just gorgeous. And that variety of bent grass, the literature will tell you, it is very hard to handle, hard to grow and cultivate and keep pretty. But it's a master's.
Hmm.
They've got a couple of things. One, this is interesting. They cut it 1/8 of an inch high.
Really?
And now, remember now, you're saying that. Don't anybody go out there and cut their lawn 1/8 of an inch high. And when Wiggins said cut your lawn out.
Mm-mm.
No, this is only for that bent grass. But underneath those greens, they say is an engineering marvel of drainage.
Really?
Yeah. And it just makes them perfect. Plus, I bet you they've got 50 people per green.
No doubt.
But anyway.
24/7, right?
Creeping bent grass.
Huh.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly. Going right back to the fairways on that perennial ryegrass, I think you could probably buy that, but I bet their variety of that ryegrass is very, very expensive.
Do you think it's top secret? Do you think that the landscaper, the greenskeeper, would ever give away his secrets, or do you think that's something that's in a vault somewhere on Augusta National?
I think it's in a vault somewhere. Absolutely. But anyway, that's the greens and the fairways at Augusta. If we have time today, and we need to get to our Texas, because that's more important,
mm-hmm.
I've got a little list of every hole at Augusta and what they're named.
I love it.
And many, many of the names are plants that we landscape. We're here,
really?
Here in Pensacola all the time.
Okay, well, we have to highlight those.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do a lightning round if we have to.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, we do have some texts coming in this morning, so 850-437-1620. Dave's got a question for you, Mike. He says, quick question regarding the product Sunday, S-U-N-D-A-Y, for lawn care. Is it a good product or just or just nonsense backed up by good advertising?
I don't know it.
Sunday.
I wonder, is that, well, I'll ask
just
the question.
Just for lawn care, he said.
Yeah, but I don't know. I wonder if it's for sale, say it's the big box stores or garden centers, or is it an online deal?
Right.
Well, I'm going to have to ask the question here.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a fertilizer? Is it a fungicide, insecticide?
What is it supposed to do?
What are they promising? Exactly.
Yeah, Dave, if you can text that
back. Dave, give us some details. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Okay, well,
Sunday.
We'll come back to that.
Sunday. Okay.
All right. Gotcha. And the next question I've got says, I've got big patches of brown grass. Looks like it's dead in my centipede lawn this year. A lot of my neighbors do, too. Any thoughts?
Well, give it some time. That's the first thing. You've got to give it some time. I have a St. Augustine yard, and I've got some areas that are looking pretty rough, too. But there are two things about centipede grass and the brown areas after the winter. One is traffic. If you have, say you've got kids playing soccer during the winter on centipede grass, sometimes it just won't come back. It doesn't like that.
Hmm.
I have people that say have their garbage can in this area, and they walk to the street with it the same way all winter long.
A little path.
There's a little path that doesn't come back like it should. And the other thing about centipede is it has, let me put it this way, one of the disadvantages of centipede is its longevity. Now, 7 years, 10 years, you don't know. But the experts will tell you that after so long that what is the person who texted us, it happens that some areas just won't come back. And you may have to resod in those areas. But I certainly wouldn't do that now. I think we've had some mild weather. We've had our little Easter cool down here. And so I would certainly give it all the way into May. And see how you do.
Okay.
It may surprise you. Plus, as we get into mid to late April, it's time for little fertilizers, some 1608, 1648, are just a good granular lawn fertilizer, might perk things up. But as a rule, it was centipede, if it's brown after the winter and it hadn't shown any sign of life as we get into late spring, early summer, it may be time you may have to regroup and plug in some sod in those areas that are discolored.
Okay, well, we got a text from Paul, who is one of the sponsors of our show with Blue Sky Landscaping, and he says, want to probably reseed centipede every 2 years. That's what keeps it looking full.
Yeah.
Keeps it full.
Well, that's not a bad idea either. Centipede seed is an interesting seed to use. It looks expensive because you buy a little tight handful for $25, $30,
mm-hmm.
but it goes a long way. It's such a small seed that when you do what Paul says, when you're reseeding centipede, or if you're putting in a new lawn with centipede, you get some good white builder sand and mix it with the seed mm-hmm. to give it some bulk. That way it's easier to get over a certain amount of area. I think, and Paul, my memory fails me sometimes, but about 1 pound of centipede will many times cover as much as 2,000 square feet. But it's hard to get that little bitty seed over that much area without giving it some bulk. And that's what the white builder sand does.
Okay. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. If you've got a question for our expert, Mike Wiggins, just text it on in at 850-437-1620. We'll be back after the break. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with the Garden Line. And we've got, I think it was Bill on the line. Good morning to you. Okay, so what's your question, sir?
Morning, Bill.
How you doing, Mike?
Doing good. How about you?
Great. I have a question about the mulch that is produced by ECUA.
Yeah.
Is it a quality mulch?
Well, you know, over the years, I think it may have changed a bit. I would hesitate to sit here and tell you exactly what it is and where you should put it. The one thing I would recommend is I wouldn't use it around any of my vegetables, anything edible. I really wouldn't. And also, some people look at that mulch and say, well, I'm going to spread it over my yard, which is going to kind of substitute for a fertilizer. I wouldn't do that either. I'm assuming, Bill, you're going to use it just to sort of mulch around plants. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I would thought about doing it on the yard too, but you.
No, I really would not do that. You know, the grasses we grow here in Pensacola really enjoy, if you will, our sandy soil. They really don't need a lot of organic mulch to make them better. So I really would not do that. Here's what I really would recommend to you. They have got some great people at the ECUA in charge of that department. As a matter of fact, we've had them on the radio one time before. I'd give them a buzz and say, look, you know, I want to put this around my plants mainly for a decorative a look. Or I want to use it to mix into the soil when I'm going to plant petunias and marigolds and that type of thing. I would ask them if their current product is recommended for that. I think you'd get a straighter answer. But really, I would not put it as a cover on the lawn, and I would not use it on any edible plants.
Okay. That's good.
All right.
No, it sounds good. The whole thing sounds good. But I would be very careful, and really I'd get some more information from them as to what they've got.
Okay, we just ran out of time, Bill, but thank you for calling in with that question. What a good one. This is the Garden Line.
Thank you,
sir. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. We are talking about lawns and grasses this morning, so we've got several texts coming in. We will get to those right after the news so we can answer all your questions. Great topic this morning.
Yeah.
If you're getting ready for spring and those master grass lawns right here in Pensacola.
Oh, yeah.
This is Pep Talk. We'll be back. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. And every Tuesday at this time, we have our gardening expert, Mike Wiggins, in the house, who hosts the Garden Line. And we've been touching on quite a few subjects. And one of the things that came up this morning was the fact that Artemis II is circling around the moon. So we've had some comments, Mike, about that.
Well, I'm just going to make one comment
yes,
about
sir.
That. One, well, maybe two comments. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
It really is. But let me tell you something I thought was very moving, quite frankly. When the captain of the Artemis II announced that they had named a crater on the moon after the wife of one of the astronauts who had passed away.
Yeah, she has just passed
and
away.
And the young man just reacted as you would think he would to
that.
Oh,
yeah.
But how special was that? Really,
it was really
of,
a beautiful
really
moment.
Really cool. It really was.
Well, we had a comment, and I said the same thing to Mike when I came in this morning. I could see the moon up in the sky this morning.
Yeah.
And so someone, one of our listeners texted and said, I left home a few minutes ago and can still see the moon right now. That must be the Earth that is between the moon and the sun. And then he says the moon is around 73%, if I remember correctly, still. So still plenty of sunlight on much of the other side. Plus, the Earthrise light reflects off the Earth. And so then this texted back and said, my grandpa said they never went to the moon. They landed on a sandbar down in Pea River.
Grandpa was into conspiracy stuff, wasn't he? Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. You're saying this is a conspiracy,
that
too.
That is such an interesting text.
I love it.
You know, we have got some listeners who know
a
lot of stuff about a lot of things.
It's great. I love it. It's great.
That really is interesting.
Yep.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, that was great. So let's get back to the topic this morning. We've been talking all about the different types of grass and seeding and lawns and sod and the Masters Tournament and the beautiful grass there in Augusta.
Right.
And so that's brought everybody's involved now. We got lots of text to get through, so we're going to do a lightning round here for you. So the first one up is, where can I buy centipede seed?
Okay, you can buy it at almost any garden center. There's a place in Georgia that grows it, and it's called Centiseed. I mean, that makes sense. But it's called Centiseed. Usually comes in a little kind of a plastic bag in the 1 or 2 pound sizes. I think you can buy bigger, but you may not need to. But yes, anybody would have it. I would certainly check Pensacola Seed and Garden, check Werner Turf. I'm sure one of those two would have it. Those are local businesses.
Okay.
I think both of those would have that. It's a big seller. We used to sell a bunch of it, and it works. But one thing to caution, if you're going to sow centipede seed, I recommend you wait just a little bit. Let's let this ground temperature come up some. That will assist in the germination of that centipede seed. And, of course, use no weed killers in the area where you're going to sow centipede seed, especially a pre-emergence, because it'll keep weeds from coming up. But you know what else it'll keep from coming up? Centipede seed.
We don't want that.
So you really don't want that. So anyway, I think they'll find it very easy to find.
Okay. We've got another question here. I don't have names attached to these questions, but this one's from another listener that says, had some trouble areas in the yard with zoysia grass. We had the soil tested, and it came back that it was lime deficient. The lawn company put lime down about a month ago. When should we start seeing improvement?
Well, zoysia is one thing about zoysia grass. One, it has been a raving success over the last decade or so in Pensacola. It really has. But one of the listed disadvantages of zoysia is that it goes into dormancy a little earlier than other grasses, and comes out of dormancy a little later than other grasses.
Oh, that's interesting.
So this is one grass, zoysia, where you really need to have a little patience. I think it will probably come back. Obviously, we don't know what has happened to that particular area, but I would say you'll probably be okay because historically it is a slow grass, or it slowly comes back out of dormancy.
So give it a little more time.
Give it a little more time. And call us back.
Let us know.
We want to know. We do. We write these things down. We want to know.
Okay.
If, say, at the end of April, if it's back to where you want it to be.
Okay.
Now, the lime on the zoysia is interesting. Generally, with our acid soil here, if it's slightly acid, we're okay lime-wise on zoysia grass. So it's interesting that the soil test would show that, but that's why we do soil tests. That's why we do it, because you would normally say, oh, zoysia grass, I really don't need to put any lime on it, like centipede. I don't want to put any lime on that either. St. Augustine, we do. So I would certainly rest on that soil test and do what they say,
okay.
which they did, and I think that's smart.
The same listener just texted back, Mike, other areas of the lawn have come back except for some problem areas.
Right, and I would certainly give those problem areas some time, because you never know what has happened in those areas. One, it could be traffic. Now, generally with zoysia, that's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been the fungus you had in the fall. Sometimes we always look at St. Augustine as having trouble with that Rhizoctonia fungus, but it can get in zoysia also. I really would wait it out. But if by chance it does not come back, you may need to resod in some of those problem areas. And with zoysia grass, I would recommend sod. Just kind of jigsaw puzzle it in to those areas that are damaged.
Okay, that's a great suggestion.
Yeah.
Okay, great questions coming in on the Garden Line at 850-437-1620. This next question says, is asking Mike, what is the most durable and long-lasting grass to put down here in the Pensacola area?
Well, that's a great question. That is a great question. I would almost say there's none that are totally bulletproof. What a lot of people have done, though, is who had St. Augustine, which was the grass of choice for generations, has had so much trouble with fungus, with chinch bugs, that they have said, I've had it, I'm going to go to zoysia, like we've just been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the one, if you're looking for something that'll take some traffic, that's hardy, that is proven, and you have full sun, that's critical, to have a lot of sun, I think I would go with zoysia, because as we said a minute ago, the centipede does have a little longevity problem, so let's put that aside. The St. Augustine, which is still my favorite, but it has major fungus problems, and once you get it, it's hard to solve. So really, zoysia is the one that's left. Now, I will say this, and I'm not recommending this, but there are some people that will say, I'm going to go with the hardiest grass there is, and we'll plant Argentine Bahia in their yard. I don't recommend it, but there are some commercial sites, and we always talk about the Florida Department of Transportation on right-of-ways will use that Argentine Bahia.
Oh, really?
Because
okay.
It's so hardy. It's very drought-resistant.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't take a lot of care. But it's not one you want in your yard. It's just not thick enough. It doesn't make, in my opinion, that attractive a lawn.
Okay, so when you're first doing your yard, let's say you have a new home or new construction, what do you recommend?
Zoysia. I would go with zoysia.
Okay.
I think it may be a little more pricey than, say, centipede. But I think long term, I think you'll be pleased. And the main reason I say that, I'm just doing it from observing people I know who have done that. Have either had a new home and put in zoysia, or got mad and ripped out what they had and put zoysia in, which has performed very, very well.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay, you're listening to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, obviously our expert this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Plenty of time for your questions at 850-437-1620. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Welcome back to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. Got another question that just came in. This came in a little bit ago. Can you reseed St. Augustine, or do you recommend plugs, or just do a solid piece of sod? And that's from Bob.
Bob, let me tell you, that's really a very, very good question. One, over the years, there have been, matter of fact, the same company that sells centipede seed used to sell St. Augustine seed.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew anyone who won, number one, did it. And I never heard of any success, and just really haven't heard much about it. I don't think it really worked. Maybe somebody who's listening can say, oh, no, I've got a beautiful St. Augustine lawn that I am seeded. But I don't think so. St. Augustine, you need to sod.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
can you talk about plugs? Because I don't really understand what that means.
Okay, I was going to go there because that's important. Plugs generally come in a tray of, I don't know, maybe 24 plugs mm-hmm. of grass. Mm-hmm. It's got little compartments in the tray.
Right, I've seen it.
And you pull out a plug. Mm-hmm. It's maybe, I'm going to say, 3 to 4 inches in diameter. It's got roots to it.
Right.
All that. That is not a bad way to do it, but it's not my favorite. Number one, I have seen many cases where it did not succeed.
Really?
And for two reasons. One, the plugs you bought, and this is no reflection on people who sold them, mm-hmm. had dried out.
Oh.
They weren't watered enough. And so it was really weak when you put it in, mm-hmm. so it never really had a chance. Because I have found over the years that the plugs really, really need a lot of water, maybe even more initially than even sod.
Is that something you would use for a whole yard?
No, you wouldn't want to do that.
Because I was going to say, that'd be...
Yeah, this is the plugs, I think where they come in is if you've got, let's say you've got a 6-foot diameter mm-hmm. band spot, like right. we talked about a minute ago, about the zoysia, remember?
Right, yeah.
Had the spot? Yeah, I think that's a good place to do it because you can really water that area good.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the literature on plugs over the years has said, let's put them 12 inches apart. On 12-inch centers, if you will, way too far apart, in my opinion.
Because
what happens is you put a plug here, put a plug 12 inches away from it, and the weeds have a chance to get in there.
That's a big distance.
Yeah. I'd go 5 or 6 inches, which, if you're using plugs and you put them that close together,
mm-hmm.
I would say price-wise, and I haven't ever done the arithmetic here, but I'm guessing would be about the same as putting sod in, mm-hmm. maybe a little bit more. So I really prefer to put in solid sod, but that also is a little tricky because you've got to be sure. If you've got a beautiful zoysia lawn and you've got this one spot that you're just going to have to resod, be sure you get it at the right level. If it's too high, your lawnmower, when you're mowing that lawn, is going to dig up that sod. So be sure you prepare for it correctly, and so it's totally level with your existing grass, be it St. Augustine, centipede, or zoysia. So plugs were the miracle way to repair lawns for years, but I still think if you do it right and put them that close together, that cost-wise, solid sod might be the best way to do it. But if you do the plugs, one, be sure they're healthy when you buy them. When you buy a tray of plugs somewhere, pull a plug out and look at it. Be sure those roots aren't as dry as they can be. And then when you go home and do it, be sure to water them. Plus, back in the day when we sold plugs, we rented pluggers. We did. Wait a minute.
Sorry. That just sounded, okay. Go ahead.
Do you know what a plugger is?
No, I'm afraid to ask.
No, a plugger is simply a deal is you step on it mm-hmm. and it pulls out a plug mm-hmm. of dirt mm-hmm. and leaves a hole the size of the grass plug.
I gotcha.
And so you just put it in there so you don't have to dig it up with a shovel.
Ah, okay.
We have made Meg's day here.
I'm going to rent one of those.
I've got one. I'm going to bring it to you.
Okay.
But really, if you're going to do it, and if you're going to do any number of plugs, try to either buy or rent or borrow or whatever.
No, it sounds great.
I know you like it. Now I know what for Christmas.
Oh, no. I want the bird. The bird thing that you have?
Oh, with the camera?
Yes, the camera bird seed feeder. Okay, that's what I want for Christmas. Okay.
You don't want a plugger.
No. But a great question from our listener, getting back on topic here. And I'm going to throw something out there that I meant to mention to you at the break, but we need to get it out there. This weekend, Mike, is the 2026 Spring Festival of Flowers in Milton. Going to be the 10th through the 12th at the UFIFAS West Florida Research and Education Center. They're offering free admission to a large outdoor plant sale and community event. They're going to have the Atlanta Botanical Garden Flower Shows and the Epic Flower People, and they're going to have all kinds of people from all over.
That is a fabulous event.
So I just want to be sure to mention that this morning.
They do it every year, and not only will they have beautiful flowers to look at, but they have a lot of booths of people selling
Yes, that's flowers. What they said. They have like they're completely sold out. Over 100 vendors, I think.
Exactly.
And they said it's local. A lot of local nurseries. They have rare plants. University of Florida student plant sale.
Right.
Food vendors. It's going to be from 9 to 4. So I guess that's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. And the address, it's up the in Milton, and it's 5988 Highway 90 in Milton, Florida.
Now I am assuming, and I'm going to say this. I may be wrong, so don't take it to the bank. That's at Pensacola State College.
Yes.
That's where it's
in
been.
Milton campus.
That's where it's been before.
Yes.
Okay,
exactly,
so it's
right.
Milton campus. Okay.
Yep. And I saw somebody on Channel 3 yesterday talking about it. And
yeah, it's huge. It is so much fun.
And this is the perfect timing for it.
And it's free. And it's free.
Yeah, and it's the perfect timing if you're trying to find plants for your yard.
That's right.
And they had everything. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But a lot of the indigenous and native plants, especially, will be focused.
Right. So. I bet they sell pluggers there, too. So you might want to scoot up there this weekend.
There's a Saturday Night Live skit in there somewhere, I'm telling
somewhere,
you.
Somewhere.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to run us off the air.
Yeah, you know. Well, I was going to say it wouldn't be the first time. 850-437-1620. If you've got a question, see, no questions. I asked about the pluggers. No questions are out of bounds here. So if you don't know something, you don't understand, help us back up and we'll go back. Michael, go back and explain exactly what he's talking about. Because you have so much knowledge sometimes.
Don't say that. Okay. If we don't have any texts, we've got to answer. Let me just make one comment about Augusta.
Got about a minute to do that right now. Go ahead.
I can do this in half a minute.
Okay.
Did you know that Augusta National, the Masters, is a former plant nursery?
No.
And that's one reason they named all the holes by plants. Here's a piece of news here. They have over 80,000 plants at Augusta.
Wow.
And over 350 varieties of plants.
Wow.
And because not only do they have all the azaleas, which mm-hmm. we know and you see those, look at the color when you're watching it. Look at some of the annuals that they plant. I know some of the sun patients. I've seen those on television at Augusta. But they've just got some beautiful, beautiful stuff. So 80,000 plants.
Wow, that's incredible.
Exactly.
I want to know who was the lucky person that had to count them.
That's true. That's a good point. They probably have a counter on staff. They probably have everything else.
I want that job.
Exactly. And egg the counter.
There you go. We will be right back with the garden line. A couple more comments have come in. We'll try to get those on before we go this morning. Mike,
sounds good.
You're the best. We'll be back in just a minute.
Okay.
Good morning. You're listening to The Garden Line on Pep Talk. Got lots of comments coming in. I'm not sure we're going to get to them all, but here's one question for you, Mike. Which sod company do you recommend?
I like, I think Warner Turf does a good job. I think, matter of fact, I could be wrong, but I believe they grow some of their own sod.
Oh.
Probably over in Alabama.
Oh, okay.
I would think. And usually the quality is very good and their service is good. So I would go there. If you're on the other side of town, Pensacola Seed and Garden probably has some sod he could also sell you. So those are the two places I would go.
Okay. Now, you have a list that we wanted to get to. I'm determined to get to this list.
Well, this list, you know, just reading the list, I don't know what this is going to do, but it's kind of fun. Once again, remember that Augusta National is the site of an old nursery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they've named all the holes there for plants. All right, here we go. This is a real lightning round. You ready?
Okay, go.
All right, hole number 1, tea olive. 2, pink dogwood. 3, flowering peach. 4, flowering crabapple. 5, magnolia. 6, juniper. 7, pampas. 8, yellow jasmine. 9, Carolina cherry.
Oh, my goodness.
We can grow many of these here. Camellia is hole number 10. White dogwood, golden bell, azalea, Chinese fir, firethorn, redbud, nandina, and holly.
So holly is hole 18?
Holly is 18, right.
18. All right. I love it. So interesting.
So as you watch it this weekend, pick out the plants.
And name that plant for
name
that hole.
Name that plant.
This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk. We're here every week, and you can re-listen to this broadcast on Saturdays right here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependent.